then, yeah, something about whipped cream, and I don't know where it went from there, but it's pretty boring.
It sounds pretty boring.
It doesn't sound boring.
Sorry, boys. Welcome to ZZP Power Hour number 156. We're talking about some things today. Dinos, performance, you know.
Horse
kinda,
powers.
Kind of what we do around here.
Horse powers.
Sounds good, Bill Kish, Big M. We're digging the new nickname for old Mike over there.
Big M,
Big
baby.
M.
He just ruined Mike's whole next week.
That's all we're going to call him. Good to see everybody in here. Dan North, Brad Keys, Nate Ashcraft, Dan, Sebastian.
Blah-blah.
Oh, Blah Blah's in here?
Yeah.
Oh, he's RB Designs, yeah.
Yep.
Thank all goodness right. It's Friday is right.
All
right.
Ooh. Nope, I don't want to say it. Never mind. I'm going to leave you all hanging. All
right.
But to go off of that, we got a Saturn Ion Redline that ZZP purchased.
Yes. On the way.
And,
it's probably been like 15 years, eh, Tim?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. And I think the last real Ion that we had to work on was ours. And that was...
This is great because...
2021? When did you sell it to Ryan?
Around there.
A long time ago.
That is definitely my favorite LSJ LNF. Well, yeah. No LNF
Delta,
in that
Delta
car.
Chassis.
Delta chassis. It's my favorite Delta chassis car for sure.
Yeah, I get it.
I hate the center mounted gauges. I never got used to it. I hated the teeny tiny tack.
Yeah.
That had a lot
it's
of
like the center mounted gauges didn't bother me at all. What bothered me was is they put the tack on the wrong side of the gauge cluster. They put your gas gauge closest to you, and then the tack was way over. I was like,
and it was really small.
Yeah,
really,
it was small.
Like this big.
And it wasn't accurate until like third gear.
Yeah,
I just always hit the rev limiter and shifted.
I know. Ryan Derrick's always talking about no lift shifted, and I'm like, LSJ's got it too. It's got a rev limiter. It's there for a reason.
There, yeah.
Yeah. On my Ion, one of the funny little notes with my drag car is I shifted by speedometer, not by
attack.
Oh,
okay.
That's cool.
That's like that's Honda boy stuff.
Yeah, so what I did was, and even cooler than that, with Matt Meekoff's help, I wired the speedometer to the rear tires.
Yeah, you had mentioned that before.
So then I would just let the car tag the rev limiter until I got to that certain speed, and
then
I would grab the next
money gear.
Gotcha. Yeah, except you were on old crappy South Bend clutches and couldn't shift fast.
That's a really good idea.
South Bend, man, I want to use the F word so bad. they learned through us.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating because we pretty much had to pay for everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's so frustrating. Customers have no idea. Like, they get mad when, like, they have problems with, like, a part that they buy from us or something. But it's like, man, you guys have no idea how many problems we have.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, in the engineering we have to do for those companies to sell a product in our...
Yeah, because you think about a clutch company that sells for hundreds if not thousands of platforms, they don't have all of the cars.
No, they can't.
It's impossible. So they take a stock unit and they say, okay, what do we do XYZ, what do we change, and you can make some good guesses based on previous applications and all that, but it's not until it gets to our hands where we're the ones putting it through its paces. And it kind of goes along with, you know, the performance chat today. Clutches are tough. Drivetrain stuff is difficult.
Just to give you a really quick version of the problems we had, we played with a material that would melt and stick to the flywheel and the pressure plate. So this disc material would get hot, and it would just stick to where it would just lock the whole assembly up. So then we switched to that goofy ceramic combo disc we use. Then we were breaking hubs out of clutch discs.
Like out of the basket? Out of the center of the basket.
Wow. Ripping the hub right out of the thing. Then I was hyperextending throughout bearings, which we still battle a little bit of that problem, but at least now we sell that throttle body spacer that like fixes it.
He means throughout bearing spacer, but
that's what I meant. That one. We sell that spacer now that like helps the hyperextending thing. But man, was it a problem. I would go to the drag strip and just On my 12-2 pass, 12-2 at 119.
That's a lot of mile per hour for a 12.
Every shift was 1.2 seconds.
Oof.
Waiting, you would grab the you'd push the clutch in, grab the shifter, and just hold it. You'd hold it
until it
and then it would
in.
Mesh in, and then you would dump the clutch and floor it. It was so frustrating.
Wow.
Oof.
That's a fast ion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that mile an hour is...
Yeah, it made 400.1 wheel horsepower. Woo! On E98.
Ooh. Okay.
And an M62. The only thing we touched on the M62 was we ported the inlet to match the LS4.
Yep.
So, I mean, a ported inlet throttle body, but, like, that was not a high helix rotor.
Man,
that was
that's really
off-the-shelf.
It's so funny when we... I get reminded of what those M62 cars make when they're set up really right, because that's like what an M90 3800 makes set up right.
Yeah.
But we've talked about that before. They both make, you know, 200 wheel stock.
Yeah.
All the right mods.
Yeah. Yep. Typical mods are higher 200s,
yeah,
you know.
Funny. They just kind of come up together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I shifted that thing at $9,000.
Which is super impressive for
awesome.
The Ecotec with so much less displacement and blower. It super.
$9,000.
It just shows you how efficient it is.
Nothing sounds better. Randy's been driving our yellow
car. I've been
car.
Driving Taco for the past
and,
day or so.
And LSJ at the limiter. So
yeah,
good.
I do love that engine.
It is abhorrently slow.
But, which makes it almost better because you're so in control the whole time.
But it just sounds... like so much fun. When Bo and I were leaving the shop last night, I pulled out and got on a 28th and ripped on it a little bit, and Bo was like,
I'm in the building and I just hear it's
a good car.
It doesn't matter how much you hit that limiter, it still bogs a little.
I was riding out, I was looking at the actual vehicle speed, waiting for the next gear, and then grabbed second and it's still ball. And I'll just clutch kick it really
wonder
quick.
What gear ratio that is. It can't be a 405.
My ion had the 445.
Wow. That sounds like an ideal for the blower LSU.
I'm gonna grab this one. Luis, you've got a first gen cruise, correct? If it's losing coolant and you see no leaks, double check the underside of your coolant tank,
because
they often will crack and it'll either run down to an area where it might not make sense that it's coming from there, or it could just be dropping right onto the ground or the trans and getting hot and, you know, burning off. But
bottom of the water pump likes to leak a lot, and for some reason you just don't notice it there either. Maybe the front side of the engine's already a little oily, or it's just also running down and just not making it to the ground.
I mean, you can do a coolant or a oil test and see, you know, if it's going into there.
Coolant pressure test.
Yeah, coolant pressure test. That's what I was looking for. Generally, the only time the 1.4s have like coolant, what am I looking for?
Ingesting coolant.
Yeah, coolant is if it got too hot, overheated from being low on coolant, and then it might warp the head or blow a head gasket. But
we only had one here. It actually had a crack in the cylinder head.
Yeah.
We chased that for a long time.
I will say you would kind of notice it. If you look at your oil already and it's not milky or anything like that, sometimes the oil coolers too, the oil and the coolant goes into the same housing and the O-rings around those.
Lots of different options. But
speaking of, we got an O-ring seal kit for that oil
we do
cooler.
Oh, I forgot products.
We do.
Feature products.
It's been a Friday.
I guess we'll go over it. I don't have them in my hands, but check out our Gen 2 Cruise lowering springs. They're really great. We've got them on our big turbo car, and it honestly feels like stock, a little bit stiffer.
Is it a little more than an inch?
So yeah.
It's just enough.
And you don't really notice, especially on our test car. It's on stock wheels, big tires, and you're like, oh, okay. You know,
you don't notice it's lowered until you see a normal one, and you're like, oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Ooh, Dougie Fresh has a 2004 LS1. I hope that's in a C5 Corvette. Or was that C6? C6 was 06?
05.
Oh, okay.
That's when it started.
All right.
C5s, still.
Oh, C5s are the best.
C5s are the best, man. It's the lightest chassis. I'm in.
Especially a Z06. Woo!
Yeah, we could talk all day
titanium
about
titanium exhaust, anyways. But let's get on to performance metrics. You know, one thing that I want to bring up are dynos. And we've had, I don't know, a dozen videos, and we always talk about it, but you know, a dyno is a tuning tool. A dyno, it does give you a horsepower rating, yes.
Yep.
But it's almost pointless to have that after if you don't have the before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you could put a LSJ on a dyno and it makes 205 stock, and then you make 230 and you're like, oh well, you know, it was supposed to be 205 crank, that means I'm up 50 wheel. You know, there's so much variation in dyno to dyno, types of dyno, the way that the dyno is set up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there's a lot of technicality. I mean, there
one dyno can vary from another dyno 15%,
yeah,
or more.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, between tap outs dyno and ours is a 15% dyno difference.
Yeah.
Like, so it sucks. Like, customers want to know a wheel horsepower of their car or like what they're going to make. And they constantly ask me, and I'm like, man, I don't even want to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you a number, because if you go to B&R, they're going to throw you some ridiculous high number, or tap out, they're going to throw you a ridiculous high number. That's one reason I kind of like the drag strip, I guess.
Yeah.
Because the drag strip is, the car puts down what it puts down and runs what it runs. Like, mm-hmm. And drag strips are a little more consistent than a darn dyno. Like, a dyno has a correction factor for weather conditions. You know, when you go to the track, you're stuck with whatever the weather, you know, the weather correction is. But yeah, like, I hate it when people ask me for a wheel horsepower, because all I can really do is give you like an A and a B, like a before and an after this mm-hmm. mod. And then that's assuming that other vendors are also being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like B&R, his post about his turbos is ridiculous.
Well, and like, it doesn't help that he takes wheel horsepower and then multiplies it and then gives you, oh, it makes 335 horsepower.
Yeah, like he tries to backwards correct it to crank horsepower.
And
I'm just sitting here like, how do you know what the crank horsepower is? Are you putting this engine on an engine dyno?
Yeah.
If you don't have an engine dyno, stop posting engine horsepower numbers. Yeah. It's just bogus.
Yeah.
That guy is an idiot. Oh man, that is one of my most hated vendors.
Yeah, like Noah Hammock brought up, you know, there's hub dynos, there's dyno jets, there's dyno comms.
Well, hub dynos are super happy.
I mean, shoot, how many times have we seen a 30 wheel horsepower difference just from tire swapping?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing that people don't think about or know.
Yeah, they're like, well, why does my Z04 only make 240 and Tim's makes 300? Well, Tim puts the right tires on the car,
mm-hmm.
also a manual transmission, you know.
Yep.
For example, let's tell a real story. So I put my Sonic, runs a Falcon RT660 tire, which is a 200 treadwear
mm-hmm.
autocross road course tire.
Mm-hmm.
This tire is going to last maybe 10,000 miles on with normal street use. So if you drive your car a ton, don't buy it. But if you have a really fast car and you want to keep your car in between the lines or on the road, you might need to run it.
Yeah. Just
mm-hmm. So my car, I put it on the dyno and it makes, I'm going to make up a number just to give you an example. The car makes like 245 wheel horsepower. And I'm like, okay, 245, that seems all right. You know, whatever. I make a change to the car. I put it back on the dyno again and it makes 220. I'm expecting it to make more power, but it makes less.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, what happened to my car? Is my car broke? It doesn't seem to be broken. I don't understand. And all of a sudden I'm looking at my scans and I'm like, my intake air temps are like 15, 20 degrees difference. So it was way hotter the next time. Well, what it was, is it was a hotter day, so my Falcons were stickier.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, mm-hmm. it cranked up my parasitic loss due to having sticky tires on the car.
Wait,
That's when it goes to what Bo said. Like, now what we do is when we're A-B-ing my car, he gives me a set of RS wheels with an all-season that's like 6 years old.
Yeah.
So it's nice and hard. And it's consistently hard, so it makes the same horsepower regardless of what day it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you've got all that extra rolling resistance and the width, too. I mean, you dyno on a 285 versus a 225, it's going to make less on the wider tire.
Even wheel weight. We get a lot of cruises in here. Cruise boys like them big rams. we had a good runner the last, oh man, I was going to say last week. It's been like 2 months now. we're getting old. Time flies.
Yep.
We had a cruise in here that made like 240s on a 19-inch wheel that was super heavy, and that was cool to see because, you know, that car's, if we put a
17 on it,
a dyno wheel on it, you know, it's going to make even more power.
Yeah.
It's that same thing with our slingshot guys. They come in and these slings have 20s.
Wow. 22s. What was it that we picked up on a slingshot? Oh, was it 70 wheels?
It was 70 or 80 wheel, yeah.
So it was a turbo slingshot that had a 22-inch wheel on it.
A big rear, heavy rear wheel with a probably standard tire.
Yeah.
And we thought something was broke because we couldn't make up for, you know, we couldn't justify why the car wasn't performing as it should. And we're just spitballing in the office and we're like, well, let's change the rear tire. We put an Enke, an 18-inch Enke on it with actually a stickier tire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a Racemaster.
A Racemaster, and it picked up 70 wheel horsepower.
70 wheel.
Yeah. And that's one tire. One wheel.
Which like makes it even more impressive if you guys ever see like donks running on 30s.
Yeah.
That make, you know, we somehow
always end up
horsepower.
Back at donks.
I do love donks. But my goodness.
The other thing is, at least on the old dyno, we can't, on a slingshot, we cannot hook more than 440 horsepower.
Yeah.
It just does not work.
Yeah, or Tim's V making 600 just spins.
Well, you know, with one tire, we've had six straps on the back.
VHT. Oh, yeah.
Torch, like, so acting like we're prepping a dang street race there.
Down to stuff like, we deflate the tire, strap the heck out of it, and then we pump the tire back up. We have done so many things to try to get cars to hook. One great thing is, though, is we have a brand new dyno, and the knurling on the rollers is brand new.
Yeah.
Oh, you could file your nails on it.
We haven't put a slingshot on it yet, but yeah, specifically,
it's going to hook.
A lot of slingshot guys want that 500 wheel mark, and I'm like, I can't. With a dyno, will not hold that grip. Yeah.
One tire. Anytime like a sling guy is like, or a sling person, whatever. It's like, I want 500 wheel. I'm like, yeah, you literally want 500 wheel.
Wheel. One. Which
that's
is
a big ask.
Talk about completely useless.
It's great to have. And like going back to useless numbers, like we use our dyno as a tool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is something that we use to improve the vehicle. We like number. All car guys like to be like, yeah, my car makes 500 wheel.
Yeah,
my car makes 400
wheel.
Dan
North said it best. It's useless, but everybody wants it. You know,
it's great. It's great to be able to say, yeah, my car makes 400 wheel. But the real tuning and the real fun part of it is when you get to go out,
and drive it. And you know, Tim will say the same thing. It's dyno conditions are not real world load. Airflow, you know, there's many other factors, but our new dyno being fresh and brand new will load the car a lot better. But even if you've got one giant fan and a blower fan in the front, it's not the same as 60 miles per hour driving down the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it just like what you probably don't realize is if you have a 12-inch by 12-inch flat piece of something and you just hang yourself out the window on the highway at 70 and try to hold that straight. Like, good freaking luck. Like,
yeah, a lot of airflow.
70 miles an hour is a lot of airflow, and it's like a dyno can't simulate that. Like, our new dyno supports load, and it's amazing. Like, I'm so happy about that. Like, it's realistic time now for full throttle in per gear. And with the new knurling, that's great too. But still, when it comes to a torque based car like the Sonics and the ATSs and ATSVs,
especially,
like, I have to do most of the tuning on the street and then put it on the dyno just to kind of like get a
dial
a
in the AFR.
Well, and the fuel system's
always
weaker on the street too, which, you know, tells you you're making more power.
Yeah.
And I run into that on W bodies a lot, especially because we always struggle with canister design and picking up fuel, you know, under a half a tank.
Uh-huh.
And it's totally good on the dyno, and then take the car off, do a street hit, and now it's lean because all the fuel and the G-forces are sloshing the fuel to the back of the tank. You know, it's good to have those real-world conditions, but, you know, the dyno does certainly have its place.
Yeah.
We do it for a lot of controlled testing, really.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Controlled A-B testing stuff, same day, you know, same comparable temperature and weather. Plus, man, it seems like a lot of times we need a vehicle that's, like, running, but in place. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when we were doing some of the catch can stuff on the Sonic, it was super cool to be able to watch the engine while it's performing.
We had a clear hose in line so you could see, vapors moving through
it. We had a car with, we thought had a lot of EGTs for some unknown reason. And, you know, we were able to do dyno pulls and literally sit there with a heat gun and be able to look around and check exhaust temperature
measuring
and stuff.
Exhaust pressure, too. There really isn't an exhaust pressure gauge that people are going to buy. I mean, you're going to
put it in your car,
get a 60 PSI gauge to hook up to your exhaust manifold.
60 PSI boost gauge, and then also mount something to, you know, take a video of it while you're driving because, you know, you're looking back and forth. It's not safe, all that. But,
you know, when we're doing cam testing, whenever we get a new platform and we have to do, like, tuning. Hey, there's this Gen 2 Cruise, let's say, just because that's the newest platform we have. You have this car, it's brand new, and you're like, okay, we got to tune this. Like, you can't street tune a brand new car.
No, you don't.
You don't. Does it need more timing? Does it need less timing? Does it need a leaner air fuel, a richer air fuel?
Yeah.
Can you butt dyno cam phasing?
Yeah.
No, like, you've got to ABC this on the dyno.
Yeah, talking about cam timing, you know, move it 5 degrees one way, 5 degrees the other way, and then you can bop back and forth, look at the data, and then, you know, I really like it for, timing as you're working up, and we had Arturo's eye on here, and I started out with the boost low, worked the timing up, saw where that plateaued, and then started to increase the boost, watching the AFR the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, that was 2 days of dyno testing that, there's no place you can safely do that on the street.
Yeah.
That's the big thing is if we have 400 plus horsepower, it's usually easiest to just do it on the dyno because of safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, but these Sonics and stuff that are making 200 horsepower, they're real easy to knock out on the street. Torque-based ECM, everything.
Three gears in and not breaking the speed limit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
Whereas the ATSV, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, so we're talking about using our dyno as a tool. That's why I'm kind of flabbergasted by the fact that other shops that sell tunes and stuff like that don't have an in-house dyno. I'm like, are you just guessing real good and then trying? They're like, 15
are you talking
revisions.
About BNR again?
I'm not casting stones, but I'm just confused at how...
He's slinging rocks.
I am a rock slinger. I don't understand how shops get away with that, like, effectively, right? So, like, you're just making educated guesses and telling your customer, hey, man, go ahead and give me a 1, 2, 3, 4 real quick on the highway and then send me a log, like...
That's not
good business.
If you want to quote one thing from this podcast, do not trust a tuner that doesn't own a dyno. If they don't own a dyno, don't have them tune your car.
And or that platform car, because you are the experiment.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of tuners do, is they use your car and your engine as their experiment. Like, oh, yeah, I tuned my buddy's... truck once.
Yeah.
I can do
this. I can tune your Sonic. No, you can't.
Yeah. They're,
man.
You cannot.
I hope Matt Meekoff is in the chat. Please chime in with, we got his LNF Cobalt and he, I think, logged over 1,000 dyno pulls on that car.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Shoo.
That is what it takes to properly engineer an R&D a platform. Now that is from stock to tuned, that's stock with like, you know, ZZP downpipe, that's like, that is getting data on every mod going in the car.
Silicone intake, like, all that. Like,
even Borg Warner was sending him turbos and Matt was just throwing them on the car and giving them data. Like, you know, full pulls from idle to, you know, redline on multiple different turbos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, over 1,000 pulls on that car. And that is an old number. Yeah, there he is. But hopefully he can give you a number.
Yeah, and, or like Dragsonic. I don't even know how many pulls that thing has. Yeah. Just beating the snot out of it. And so it's wonderful to have. And we wouldn't be the shop that we are without it.
And it's nice that it's ours and we are in control of the settings as well. Because even like, say, another shop sends you somewhere to get a dyno, like, you know, your local dyno, whatever it is. They could have changed settings from time to time.
Parasitics.
There's nothing like that you can get that will improve the vehicle. Like, it's just numbers, effectively.
Yeah. Really good for developing.
Yep.
Absolutely. Great tool. Luis, you have all our parts and you don't have a tune? What are you doing, man?
All of the parts?
A 1.4? A tune is almost... I'll say it. It's the best mod for...
Yeah,
really,
like even if you have a 100% stock 1.4, great first upgrade is a tune.
Yeah,
yeah, the tune is definitely key.
But yeah, watch our top 5 mods. Luis, if you want to go to a local dyno and put it on now without the tune, and then do your tuning with him, and then go back, that's a great AB. That'll show you what you're actually getting.
And like, if you're a manual, you have full control of your shift points, so I can't help you there. But if you have an auto, like, I can get the shift points dialed. Like, tuning the trans is like half of the tune. Yeah. Like, that's your driving experience.
Oh,
like,
on any of the auto cars.
Down to dumb stuff, like when you round a corner, it automatically downshifts one extra gear, so it's like ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't have to wait for it to downshift. Like, it's already downshifted and like ready to accelerate. Oh yeah, dude. You need a tune really bad, Lewis.
Yeah.
You love it.
Tim,
you love it.
Tim and I geek out over transmission tunes. We're like, what about 1 mile an hour here? Yeah. 1 mile an hour there, like, and it makes a difference for real.
Yeah, and anytime any of my auto cars, I'm like, guys, what do I do?
Sometimes Tyler gets LSJs and he's like, there's the auto tables in this tune. And I'm like,
oddly enough, and I finally figured out what it is. So there are a couple of eBay sellers that sell reflashed PCMs for your VIN. Like, so for folks who have e-check or whatever VIN that it needs to match, or their original PCM went bad. Anyway, that seller, what I believe they do is they take Malibu P12 cores and then they flash somehow, assuming in the binary file, the LSJ P12 onto there. But it retains all of the transmission tables. Mm-hmm. So I'll open up these LSJ files, and you know, when I'm going through the DTCs, I see all the trans ones, and I'm like, what the heck? And hop over the trans tab. Sure enough, they're all there. But just odd.
It's just an
weird.
Interesting tab to have in a manual LSJ car all of a sudden.
I know.
Anywho.
Thoughts on a turbo between a KO4 and Z54? That's going to be completely up to... what you do with the car, you know, what you like. Nothing hits harder than the torque of a KO4. I mean, T-Spain and I were just talking about it earlier. A KO4 can make full boost at $3,000. Like, they are
ridiculously torquey turbos. That being said, if you have an F35 that you like, maybe don't give them the old 320, 420 on a stock KO4.
Or if you have a Kappa and you want the rear end to stay inside
and,
the car.
And you have 285, 200 treadwears on it. Maybe go up to the Z54.
Z54 is a phenomenal turbo. It's going to feel a lot stronger up top.
It's not going to run out of gas like a KO4 does.
Yeah, KO4 is going to, it's going to smack you right in the butt, and then it's going to fall off, and then you're going to be waiting for your shift point. Z54 is going to come on nice and easy and strong and hold it all the way to red line.
Yeah, and they still make plenty of torque.
They make plenty of torque. They spool pretty darn good, and that turbo is capable of making 475 wheel depending on your mods. So
It's wholly dependent on how you're going to use the car too. So.
Yeah. Sebastian, if you need a tune update, man, just email me. I know the name, but I don't remember it being lately, so that means it's been a while. So yeah, just email me, man.
Oh, Morrison, not Wagner. I was like, why is Sebastian? Sorry.
Email me. Let's do it.
Yeah. Hagen, no, Super Cruise and B&R, they're not the same person, but I believe Super Cruise partners with B&R. Eric Overmeyer, great question. How did you guys learn to tune? And for the guys on this side of the table,
you kind of just heard me. Matt has like over 1,000 dyno pulls on his car. Like, that's how he learned how to tune L&Fs.
Yeah.
You know, over 1,000 just dyno pulls alone. Like, that's not even the street miles he put on the car playing with stuff.
Yeah. But for Bo and I, it was just, you know, we got in here and we had some great mentors who taught us the ways. And
I think the best thing for me, and I was actually reflecting on this the other day, I put about 100,000 miles on Tim's 1.0 PCM. And then he opened it and showed me it. And I'm like, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And obviously just being in the car and owning one and knowing what works and what doesn't work and how to make them a little better and understanding, you know, basic math. Yep. And, you know, timing and air fuel or fueling and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
The being in the car is an invaluable portion of the tuning process. I mean, you know, you can look at a scan all day long and fuel trims might look great and idle looks great and all that. But the feel really does come into play. And when you're in the seat every day.
Well, I talk to Tim about this all the time when he's looking at scans. I'm like, it's so nice owning a platform car and looking at a scan because you can look at the scan and literally feel what the car is doing by looking at the scan. And if I couldn't imagine trying to tune a 3800 car and never had been in one.
Yeah.
Like, you're just, you know, guessing at that point. So it's, you know, that's why Tim has a Sonic. That's why Tyler has an LSJ. That's why I have a 3800.
Yep.
Just goes hand in hand with tuning them. And, you know, I even pick up on little things on my car new every year that I just, you know, implement into some of my remote tunes, you know, help drivability and little things, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Little stuff like, you know, PE changeover and timing in certain areas. Like,
well, the nice thing too is, you know, being around at ZZP, we got supercharged cars that I get to drive. I got a turbo car that I drive. You know, there's certain situations where a tune would work the same for both, but there is areas where, you know, a turbo car needs some different things. A big thing that I learned last year was I got to drive a couple of ST5 cam cars.
Mm.
And that cam is a lot of cam in a 3800. Great cam. But I realized...
Three quarter race
cam? I realized not locking the converter in third at all on an ST5 cam feels really good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Tim would understand that. You lock the converter with a ST5 cam and it starts lugging you around town and it just don't feel good. And so, you know, and I always tell people when I'm going to do it, I'm like, hey man, we're a couple of revisions in. You want to try and not lock the converter in third and see how you like it. And everybody loves it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what I notice is I will change the shift point. Like, you have your lockup speed and then you have your next gear speed. And like, what I'll do is sometimes I'll have a car that like I just can't lock the converter. It doesn't work for that vehicle.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is like either I'll lock the converter and then run that gear out further, or I'll keep the converter unlocked, but then I'll shift to the next gear earlier.
Ah, okay.
So there's like, it's one of those feel things. Like, you just have to do it right. Like, if you're able to lock the converter earlier, then you can run that gear out longer because it's more one-to-one. There's no slip there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a feel for sure. And like Bo said, like, the larger cam you have, the more you have to rely on the converter slipping.
Well, and it all depends on the converter. Nobody ever runs enough converter. So, you know, we don't really want to lock it. So,
and that's another performance oriented mod that a lot of people don't think about. And we've talked about it here before, a good converter and converter tuning. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, my Camaro, it's an auto A8 car, Z57. I mean, it's a big turbo. It's got cams, all that. But man, some of that converter tuning and part throttle, that car friggin' rips. Yep. And it is so much fun. And you get that torque multiplication. And we need more and better converters for most of our platforms. And that's something we're working on. But that's also another one of those areas where we don't have the manpower and or the tooling where we can do it in-house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a, oh, we want this, find someone to give us this, and then work with them to...
Back and forth. Yeah. And sometimes that takes...
Years?
2 years?
Yeah.
3 years? Easily. Like, it's...
How long have we been? How long have we been working on a ZZP clutch? Like years
and years and years.
Well, 5 years maybe. Like,
yeah.
The problem is too is, you know, a lot of approvals come through me, and I'm picky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like me, Tyler and I will just mill over the smallest thing and be like, well, let's just try a different, mm-hmm. you know, something different because it's good enough, but like we don't want good enough, you know, and so.
And especially on clutch testing, that is. Specifically difficult because there is only one way to test it. Yeah. Put it in the car and have someone put miles on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's the call? Okay, this clutch has 10,000 miles on it. Feels good right now. What about 20, 50? You know, how long do you go before releasing that to customers? And we don't ever want people to get half-assed products. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while it may seem detrimental to you guys that whatever product it might be, not not specifically clutches, but whatever product it might be is taking a long time to get to you, that's because we are taking the time to make sure that you can put it in your car and you can run it. You can be worry-free.
It definitely puts us, like, as ZZP in a weird predicament because, like, when we do the correct amount of R&D, we put 20,000 miles on a clutch or whatever it is, then some people, like, accuse us of gatekeeping parts and, like, man, you guys just want those cool parts for your cars. And we're like, that's no.
No!
If we released it and it broke, you would be equally disappointed.
We're angry. Business.
Yeah.
There's no product that we have that's not on the website that is sellable to customers. Like, we want you to buy it, obviously.
But it definitely puts us in that weird position of, you know, how long do we beat on this product until we can release it?
Yeah.
We have a handful of things kind of sitting in the chamber of like, well, maybe in 5,000 miles.
Yeah. Or like the OG Z04 on the blue car.
Yeah.
Had 20,000 miles on it before it got approved. And
yeah, I think it's almost 50,000 on it now.
That's a lot.
A lot of miles.
That's a lot of miles.
I remember riding in that car when I was a customer. I came up to, I think I got a clutch done in the black car or something. And Al was like, come get in this car. You're going to want to ride in this. And I was like, okay. And I was like, yep. Put me on the list for that whenever that happens.
Hell yeah.
But that's got some miles on it, that the Z04 in that car.
Yeah.
We had the engine out, did the trans, looked at the turbo and said, you're going right back in there.
Yep.
Back in.
Not going to change it. Yeah, Jordan, tubular control arms, they're always a hot commodity. It's a heavy, fab-intensive product.
They hit the site, everybody who's been waiting scoops them up, and then we're waiting again for the next batch.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Just like ZFRs went back on the site the other day, and boom,
I know. I had a couple of guys, they were like, I see ZFRs or the ZFRs up, and, you know, I can't decide what one. I'm like, well, you better. Because
just buy it.
Just go. Today, right now.
Yeah.
Buy both of them, and then when you think about it, return the other one.
Yeah, it's those ZFRs always are, they just, as, what is it, Bo says, they sell like hotcakes.
They sell like hotcakes. Just
Yeah, he's really holding on to that one.
He said that the other day, and all of us were like,
Zoom goes, how do hotcakes sell?
Very well.
Other than IHOP, where do they fly off the shelves?
It's an expression. You've never heard the expression.
We've all heard it.
We've all heard it.
We've all heard it, but yeah, I am definitely curious where it came from.
Well, yeah.
It's like the expression like you can't have your cake and eat it too. Well, why would you want to have cake and not eat it?
Yeah.
There's so many of those sayings I just don't wanna understand.
They're just old head banter.
All from like the 1850s.
Yeah.
Uber Blue Dragon, we are kind of working on having some new aluminum heads for the 3800. It's kind of in it's in the discussion stage, and you know, we're trying to contact our old place, the old foundry that cast them.
Yeah.
If
you're on 3800 Performance, there was a poll on there. I can't remember if Bo or
Zoomer posted it.
Yeah, Zoomer posted it. But just kind of probing the community. Price points, you know, having something that large cast again, whether it's new molds, modifying old molds, it's casting's tough, and we have some great partners, but it's a lot of money. And 3,800 guys, there's not a ton in the chat today, but I have been witnessing the last few weeks of sales reports. The Sonic Crews, the 1-4 guys, are starting to pass you.
It's
not cool, boys.
Not cool.
Well, I'll have to. We'll see about that.
We'll see. Bo's going to write a check after this and be like, just kidding.
I need to get in the groups and get some hype going, I guess.
Yeah.
Matt Meekoff pulled a Randy and spouted some random knowledge.
That's perfect. That's
good. Love that.
You're supposed to look at the cake because it's so pretty. I know one kind of cake you're supposed to look at. Oh, wait.
Typically, that's a much more expensive situation.
Paul, you do not need a 300 series turbo. Oh, wait. He's got a 2J.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually has...
Paul, will you just put an L&F back in it?
Died immediately, so I would suggest not putting it back in.
No, my Sky was so freaking fast. It had 265-35 RE71 RSs on it, and that thing would spin the tires in third at, 60 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that thing rowdy. It was so rowdy. All I had was I just took a cutoff wheel and kind of ground in the turbine housing a little bit and then had it extrude home. I can't even imagine what that car would be like with a Z54. And Preston, I don't know where Preston is.
Yeah, Preston, where are you at? Yeah.
Where's Preston at? But Preston might be buying my old Kappa, and I'm so freaking excited.
You see Bill Kish's comment? Oh, what man. Group shows at 131? Yeah, Bill, it's just you, brother. But that is the group that shows up.
I was like, well,
it's him and Brad Keyes.
You and Brad Keyes, pretty much.
So we got it. We
There's
got
no
one
Sonic
Ecotec,
guys out there.
13800. Also, where are the Sonic and Cruise guys at the drag strip? There are none.
It's us, pretty much.
It's not necessarily a drag racing car.
Yeah. It's not, but mid-12s, which is plenty fast for that little car, is extremely achievable on a Z04.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Jeff McGovern, your cruise record is going to probably go down this year.
Yep.
We've been poking around, letting you do your thing, but we're going to get the old winter beater out and put some slicks on it and take it.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Matt, thinking drag strip's about 3 weeks out. Mm-hmm. We're going to do some LTG Camaro things.
Woo!
Camaro.
Yeah.
Get
yourself
a Camaro. We'll get some other shenanigans out there just because. So
yeah, this
131
year,
opens up soon.
We definitely need to do some drag racing this year. We've been kind of slacking a few years.
We've got a grip of cars that need to get out there.
ZZP,
a grip of cars.
We don't have enough drivers.
Yeah.
Lightweight race driver, I can only drive one at a time.
That is true. we have a lot of cars that have had a lot of improvements and they have not been to the track since.
Well, yep. Z04 Auto Blue Sonic was 2020.
Jeez. Every time I go to look at that time slip from when we set the auto record with that, I'm just scrolling through my photos. I'm like, oh my gosh, it was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I've got it saved here.
And that was, that was before we even had a TCM file in the car that worked, Tim. I was still manually shifting it on that pass. Like, trying to hit that little tap button in time. Because we put the Z04 on and we're like, this trans isn't going to work. And then we just realized what to do. But, we put the Z04 on and we were so pumped, we went right to the drag strip, that day. It made 240 wheel on our dyno.
Yep.
And then we're like, what's everybody doing tonight? Let's go to the track. Pulled it right off the track. Or dyno went to the track, ran like a 13.1.
13.3.
Okay, 13.3.
At 101, it was October of 2020.
Shoot.
We're coming on 4 years.
4 years since that car's been on the track. You know the amount of improvements we've made in tuning and just everything? I mean, that car has tubular control arms on it now, too. We did those because we were going to go back and then never did.
And that was on old radials, not even slicks.
I think this year we should probably invest in some tires. Like, we need to chuck some old tires and just be like, hey, like, the year 2024, we're going to get a cruise record, a Sonic record. Like, let's just actually get
records. We can put the auto cruise and the auto Sonic record into the 12s.
Yeah. Oh, easy.
That'll be good until
ever.
Ever.
And then ideally, this is a stretch for me, but I want to I want to go deep 11s in Zoom's car on an M90, a street car.
Yeah.
Maybe a 10.9. If we could do 10.99 on an M90 in that car.
What's the M90 record?
10.87.
Yeah.
The dude with the Regal?
10.81?
Yeah. I think. Basically Zoom's car, but black and two-door and nothing in it. I don't know if we can get it light enough. That's the problem. That guy cut everything out of that car.
Oh, you're talking about Zach.
Yeah.
Zach Brunsink's car? Yep. Pretty much, like, full build. And
I don't necessarily need the I don't need to take the M90 record, but just like to say.
You just want
to
go.
Yeah, go out there and have fun.
Yeah. But Noah Hammack, my biggest plan for the Camaro this summer is drive it, A. B is get to the drag strip. The last time I was at the drag strip in the Camaro was 2018.
Jesus. Stock turbo, big wheel.
Stock turbo. Not even big wheel. Stock turbo. Wow. E47. Old. So now it's 57, E85, auxiliary fueling. You know, we've got.
Well, we're also going to do 9-second LTG things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then.
In probably more than one car.
And, yeah. And then also ATSV things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of work.
Yeah, ZZP's got two new ATSVs. I mean, two new used ATSVs.
Yeah,
both have two separate goals for them.
Yep.
So, and they're both auto because the auto just kind of I don't know what happened. The
You don't sound happy. I don't know what happened. We got two dang autos.
I'm frustrated. I'm a big manual guy. You know, the fastest ATSV was what was it again?
8.9.
It was 10.35 or 10.36 or something like that.
Yeah,
and it was a manual car.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he had that record for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then my buddy Drew was just like, "Hey Tim, let's go to the track." And I was like, "You know what? Sure, I'll steal Steve's Camaro drag wheels and I'll bolt them on my V and go to the track." And then I ran it was like a 10.70 something.
And you ran a 10.34.
And then I ran a 10.70 something and beat the record. And I was like, holy crap. I didn't even know that I was ready to take the record yet.
Yeah.
But my buddy was just like, "Hey, let's go to the track." So I took the record and then I came back and I was like, "Hey," and Steve's like, "Whoa, how'd you do it?" And I explained what I did and he went to track and beat me.
Yep.
By like
10.68, I think.
Yeah. By darn near a whole 10th. And then I went back and took the record back again, and I still have the record, and that pass was 5 years ago, darn near.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and then all of a sudden years went by to where I was the fastest one, and then all of a sudden the autos just came in.
Yeah.
Swooped in to where I have probably 10 autos in front of me right now. It's frustrating.
Yeah. Well,
we never had an auto card race.
It's
now we bought two autos.
Mm-hmm. You can't beat the 60 foot of that auto trans. It's
you just can't.
Yeah.
So we have two autos now. One's going to be a stock turbo auto race car, and then the other's going to be an aftermarket turbo car. And that's not a secret because we already posted a picture.
Yeah.
Of what's in that car.
Well, that one was AI generated.
Oh yeah. That's right. I forgot about that. Brandon, LTG Regals. Actually, Tim down there has himself an LTG Regal.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, we've been tinkering on fuel system stuff. We got enough parts out right now for the LTG, downpipe,
turbo.
Well, we don't have enough.
Well, we need where I was going with that. I was going to say we have enough that we've run into fuel system limitations on a previous build.
We're still missing two big parts for the LTG Regal, and that's kind of why I bought one.
Intercooler and intake.
Intercooler and intake.
Yeah,
needs to happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Brandon, keep an eye on our website. I heard within a month of now, we're going to be engineering both of those products.
Excellent.
Cool. And then a couple months, and then we'll be producing the product for the masses.
Yeah.
So that'll kind of wrap up the LTG Regal because... everything else is pretty much just internal engine parts that we already sell from the ATS.
Maybe a catback?
Maybe. My car could use it. The stock catback sure doesn't sound good.
Yeah. No.
Every time LTGs I hear it, I'm like, oh, good. God.
Yeah.
And we've got some little knick-knacky stuff for LTG Regals coming as well.
But we do need to figure out the fuel system.
Yeah.
The in-tank fuel pump is going to be needed if you want to run E85.
Very surprising how different that is compared to the rear wheel drive cars.
Well, yeah. It's an Opel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is an
different
insignia,
fuel.
Yeah.
It's a different FSCM.
It was a car engineered overseas and GM purchase.
Yeah.
It's a pretty wild fuel canister with a big saddle in the middle and a helper pump weird venturey deal. And a lot going on in there.
We don't have access to the fuel pump control module.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, you know, something that's going to be a pain. You know, the ATSs, we do have access to that.
Going to have to run an old boost reference system on it?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll figure out something. I mean, when it becomes a problem, we will figure out something.
Race my moose with your moose? Moose race?
Moose race?
Woo!
We got a bunch of galloping meese running down the drag strip
can
here.
Can we do it with curbs involved?
Yeah, can we go left and right? And not just
Hegdal, which I need to know how to say the name because he's been on here. He's the one with that badass shortened S10. Pretty excited about that.
Shortened S10.
He just commented about it earlier.
He sent me pictures of it, and he shortened an S10, but he shortened the bed and moved the cab back.
What?
Like,
what?
Oh, it's pretty cool. So he shortened the front of the bed. With an S10. So he's swapping it, and it's going to be neat.
Hegdal, I'm just curious, what's the wheelbase on that now between your two drive axles? Just to compare to, you know, other things. But, I don't know.
Just to compare. Is an 84K10? What?
Sometimes that's all you can do.
I think the history of the S10 was it was LS swapped. So, like, the original build was for an LS swapped autocross monster. And then he took over the project in his 3800 and... 3800-ing it.
Oh wow, that is tough to say.
Yeah, my bad. But yeah, it's pretty awesome. Like, I'm super excited to see progress pictures on that.
Why are you sending Tim pictures and not me, homie? Oh, that's cool though.
108 inches.
108. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty short.
That's pretty stinking short.
That's pretty short. Jordan. Tesla stuff, we're still dabbling here and there. We don't have our Model 3 anymore, so that's part of it. But I know Zoom wants to get another one.
Yeah, we're waiting because the whole Model 3 thing is kind of up in the air, what they're going to end up releasing. Because
the new Highland one, there's rumors that there's going to be a ludicrous or plaid version of the Model 3, which might have three motors, which would be nutty.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Brandon, we'd love to get to Norwalk this year. I really hope it'll happen. I haven't been there since I've been here, and I know it's an awesome track.
Matt loves it.
Yeah, Matt loves it. It's a good track, but it is quite a haul for us.
Yeah, it's a hike, and also we have so many cars that we would want to bring there. We really need like a ZZP.
We need a car hauler. Yeah,
we need at least a 3-car wedge.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about wedges is they aren't too expensive. You can get a nice wedge for like 10 grand and you could haul 3 cars on it or maybe 6 Sonics.
Well, yeah.
Can we stack them this way?
6 Sonics, you wouldn't even get like half the cars that we have.
No, you wouldn't. We have over a dozen.
We have quite a few Sonics hanging around.
The thing is, we just got to build race cars that can drive to the track, because whenever we get around for street car takeover, we're like, all right, what ones need a trailer?
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, what ones can drive?
Yeah. Crazy Foot, 8.7 at 178 on your bike. That's, I will give it to bike dudes. It's something that I would never do.
Yeah.
But that is insane.
No, I choose life. Thanks.
Yeah. 180 in the quarter?
I'll pass.
Yeah.
That's moving out.
I was just joking with the guys earlier about how I love the limitations of our platforms.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, the last, like, it, you know, Bo mentioned it a little bit earlier, like, you know, an ATSV customer will be like, hey, I've got this ATSV, I want to bring it to you guys and have you do a 600 wheel horsepower plus package. And then they show up on some Michelin Pilot Super Sports.
That are dry crack.
What am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do with Michelin Pilot Super Sports on a 630 to a 680 wheel horsepower
car? No, dude,
car?
He just got brand new Indy 500s on it.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, best car ever. Or best tire ever.
Federal sponsor us.
Oh, I would take Federals over those.
Poor Federals all gone. And U.S. government shut them down. It's terrible.
The federal government?
The federal government shut federal down.
Is that
what?
Yeah. Federal can't import into the U.S. anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Wow. Didn't know that.
Very sad. So now we have to move on to Zestinos and Acceleras.
Zestinos. It's not
or what did I buy that came in today? Vredesteins?
Oh, the Vredesteins. Man. Yeah, they
sorry, I can't
they
say
don't
it.
Have a racing
Hedgel
tire.
Hedgel right Racing 174. You have an 01 Special Edition too. And you have some swap stuff, dude. Did we just become best friends? 01 Grand Prix Special Edition is the best Grand Prix they ever made. Hell yeah, dude. You know you
what,
were
what made the 01 Special
Why do you
edition?
Love asking me this?
Stand
because,
out.
Because there's no reasoning behind it.
No, there is. It all is right, the continue. Best package. Okay. You got
the roof rails.
Roof rails.
Mm-hmm. Hood scoops.
Hood vents. Oh.
Yeah.
You're just picking on me.
Every time.
I get so pumped about it. But last time I got you, I said they had factory powder-coated red calipers, too, and you go, ooh.
Ooh.
Wow.
Dual chrome exhaust tips.
Shoo.
Spoiler, I can go all day, man. Special no, yeah, editions
we,
where it's at.
It sounds
we
like
we talked
just,
about this. And,
hey, Paul.
Especially the purpley one.
The yeah. Acceleras, you know, they'll handle your 2J just fine, but they're not enough tire for the L&F engine that you pulled out. Just saying.
Oof. 651's a great tires, actually.
Well, now he's got what, like a friggin' 488 and a
yeah,
four link in the back?
Yeah, that car scoots.
So now he needs like some 26.85s or something.
He's got some good sticky tires in the back. I don't know if they've released it yet. There's a video coming out for that car.
Okay.
I don't remember who did
oh, yeah,
it.
Oh, yeah. Some guy.
Some guy.
A color.
A color. Yeah,
yeah
the color guy.
Yeah.
I think it's like Sky that.
Yeah,
blue?
Sky Blue?
Blue?
I don't
Sky
know.
Blue?
Someone, one of them.
I don't know.
Sky and Blue? Yeah.
But
anyway, he might have been here.
He's got,
and,
he's got some meats in the back
talked
of that
about
car
our
now.
Cars.
Yeah, shout outs to Dune good. Blue.
Yeah, that dude, David's great. Super glad he got to meet up with Paul. Except for Paul never sent me a freaking log. I tried so
yeah,
hard, and he didn't
fine.
Send
everything
one.
Was fine.
It's okay.
A log for the grandma or the
gremlin.
I tried to get Goblin to make a gremlin out of a 1.4.
Thank you.
Heck
we,
no.
We,
all right.
We tuned it after about six beers in Tale of the Dragon.
You're not wrong.
No, we did. Ooh. And like his wideband wasn't like configured into the scan, so I'm like logging in a Goblin, like laptop looking at the wideband, like it was rough.
Yeah, dude. That's already.
It was
you feel like you're gonna die, and then
we were like using my laptop, his
yeah.
interface, like just a mess. But yeah, we got it.
It's.
Done.
It has power left in it because it's rich.
Yeah.
Like, I kept pulling fuel out, and I'm like, man, this thing is still, like, I think, like, low 11s. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It yeah. needs the sauce
Paul,
still.
Get me a file. Get me a scan. Oh.
Zoom's
in here.
What do we got to talk about, Zoom?
Got nothing today.
Just making an appearance. Oh, that's great. Paul, I'll...
Just... I love that!
That was great. All right.
450-80, here he comes. But yeah, Paul, I'll try and figure out. I've had a couple people... Something with the file names isn't right, but we'll get your car dialed
Paul's
in.
Paul's also got some extra goodies to toss in the LSJ. If you're going to do... You're gonna do a tune. You might as well do the cams and springs while he's there.
Whew. Might as well.
At
while
least
you're
just
in there,
do the springs. Like,
yeah,
cams aren't even as important as those springs.
Absolutely. We are at 458 though. So, boys, what you doing this weekend?
Whew. Man, we've had a lot of nice weather and a lot of rain.
Yeah.
So the roads are getting real cleared up for mm-hmm. some car shenanigans. So definitely thinking about that. Told the boys on lunch today, gonna have to take the engine out of the Regal just because.
It's no, the problem.
It runs fine, but he's like, you know,
gotta
what?
Take it
like,
out.
Gotta just
no,
take it out.
The problem was he saw out. Me putting my engine together last
so
night.
So that is the problem. I've got a pretty good drivetrain in the Regal right now, but it's not optimal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of band-aided stuff from last year to get me around Tail of Dragon and some autocrosses, and
yep.
I'm like, it's good, I'm going to leave it, and then I see Randy building an engine. Tim's talking about building an engine, and we're building engines here every day, and I'm like, I need to need.
Just, yep.
So we'll see how far the snowball rolls, but definitely got some plans for new tires on it, new brakes on it. Probably just get it out, clean it off, dust it off, get it in the garage, start looking at it, you know?
I'm trying to look up when your ancient ass turbo came out.
Would you stop? I talked to Matt about the 258 today. He said, it's going to spool too quick. I'm like, exactly.
That's the point.
Yes.
Yeah, it's funny. We're all kind of doing turbo things this year.
I don't know. I'm going to put a jump pack on my car and then just go drive it.
That's what I should do.
I am just so excited. Like, my Sonic made 330 on the off-the-shelf Z04.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Our new Z04s that are going to be on the website in, like, you know, they're going to have an improved turbine wheel, mm-hmm. which is worth like about 10 wheel horsepower.
But more importantly, less back pressure.
Yeah. And then we're going to work on an upgraded compressor cover mm-hmm. that will gain horsepower and reduce exhaust pressure. So like between the turbine wheel upgrade and the compressor wheel upgrade, like I'm hoping for like a 350 wheel horsepower Sonic on like total pump fuel, like,
yeah.
Pumpy 85, drive it every day like that.
And then Randy's going to come in and crap on
with a
400 wheel.
Oh, yeah. I will happily hand the second place trophy to Randy when he
gets his this summer, we get all of our stuff together, but, you know, by May. And we can, all four of us can go to Streetcar Takeover, Autocrosses, Tail of the Dragon, yep. Grattan. Everything else in between, and we don't have any major failures.
Yep.
That's
if we. I'm going to be responsible this year, unlike other years, and I think Tim's going to do the same. And
yeah.
Tyler's shit's always reliable because it's slow.
Yep, it is absolutely the slowest of the group. But you know what? I have a lot of fun.
Thing sat all winter and didn't need any work.
Nah.
He didn't even park it inside.
Right over there.
Hanging out back there, throw a jump pack on it. We drove to lunch the other day. It's great.
Sonic, I would pull it out to just drive it for a day and break it on that day. Yeah. Like, but, you know, thanks Tim Cooling, one of our R&D guys. Like, he's got my rocker guard in there, which you guys will be able to buy soon.
Those little fingies holding it down. It's great.
Just the little fingers, just those tender little fingers just holding everything together.
I saw this dang reel my brother sent to me the other day. It's some guys hanging out in the garage, and they shove like this big firework in the freezer.
I saw that.
Yeah. And the dude holds the freezer door shut like this.
Oh,
and
no.
It wasn't as bad as you think, but it like blows his hand back, and he's... Ooh. It's what your rocker guard's doing.
No, you stay.
Get back. Boom. No. No. It's just like, boom. No.
Yeah, this year, Bo, I'm taking my autocross spot back.
Damn.
I'm going to make it hard for you.
See, what he doesn't know is going to be like, Tim, let's pull the car in, do a bolt check. I'm going to be like, Ryan, take that damn rocker guard out.
Send it to the moon.
Oh, Sergio. Issues and
missed it.
Easy
answer. Oh, yeah.
We deal with this all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Purchase our 1.0 PCM tune, mm-hmm. HP tuners, have your laptop. Tim will tell you he won't charge you for an update most of the time.
Yeah.
But in regard to the last part of the sentence, the car should absolutely be in optimal condition.
Yeah.
You know, make sure everything's good. GM, AC Delco, Delphi, MAF sensor, O2 sensors, you know, but we'll be able to tell you those things, you know. It's pretty easy to spot something that's off. But yeah, absolutely. Make sure the car's running well. Buy our tune.
Yeah, sorry we didn't talk about this on the topic of dyno parameters and such.
Yep.
I would say all three of us tuners up here, if you send us a first scan, we have some basic numbers we need to see across the board on fuel trims, MAF, etc.
Yep.
If we're not seeing those, we usually hit you right back with, hey, you got to fix an issue, brother, before we keep tuning.
Yep.
So, and that's no worries on you. You probably don't know that you have an exhaust or a vacuum lake or something. So
the car's got plenty of parameters where it'll keep it, as long as it's not too bad, running well enough. But you don't know. You know.
So, yeah. If
reach out. We'll get you set up with a tune. You'll be good.
Yeah, HP Tuners is a great way to diag.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What are you doing, Randy?
I am going to slap some pistons in engine after we're done here.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go log orange crews.
Orange and black crews?
Orange and black crews. Not the orange and chrome crews.
No.
Orange crews. And this weekend, I'm probably going to start getting green car on the ground so I can put it on a trailer and get it here.
Summer's like right around the corner.
Yeah. I'm hoping to slap an engine in a car and do some turbo stuff. And
yeah, I'm excited. I'm gonna get the summer wheels on the Sonic.
Heck
in
yeah.
The garage ready.
Dang.
All right. And the LTG Regal wheels are all done being
power
coated.
Oh my gosh, you got a good weekend ahead of you.
Tires and wheels.
Yeah,
on
we gotta
the
go
Regal.
Look at those.
Yeah.
Woo!
Are they here?
I would imagine they
were
went
just
out
talking
to get
about
them
so. Things.
Them things, yeah.
Yep.
Big old 20s. Got 20s.
Two wheel swaps this weekend.
Yeah.
Atta boy.
Like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time.
I'm going to change the oil on the Saab tonight and poke around my clean garage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. It took me 3 days. I mean, I'm talking probably 12 hours worth of cleaning, throwing stuff away. It feels I bought a new toolbox. Did
Looks
I need it?
Great.
You know?
New toolbox goofing.
Yeah.
That's a garage I can hang out in.
Oh, yeah. It's so good now because it was so packed before where you'd have to pull directly in and I got the toolboxes on the left and you couldn't jack up the car right.
Yep.
Now I can pull in and angle the car.
Oof.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Crack a couple of high lifes. We'll be good.
True.
But thanks for joining us, everyone. It is past 5. We appreciate it. We'll catch you next week for 157. No idea what the heck we're going to talk about, but we'll figure it out and we'll come up
we'll
here.
We'll talk more about dino stuff.
Ramble with you. All right. Catch you next time.
Later, guys.
Peace.